advise you to get off the streets as quickly as possible. It'll soon be a war up there.
And we are, as a people, opposed to secret societies, to secret oaths.
I know for a fact.
And to secret proceedings.
Weapons of mass destruction.
I have a dream.
I take the threat very seriously.
A new world order.
Your government thanks you for your participation.
You are now listening to the world-famous Sofa King Podcast.
Please, read from sheets. I am Sofa King.
Sofa King.
Now repeat all very fast, please.
I am Sofa King.
Faster.
I am Sofa King.
No, not so fast. Loses meaning.
I am Sofa King with me, Todd.
You say funny things.
I know a lot of you out there might think that we cut in that glass clank and bell, you know, for the episodes. That's fresh recorded every time.
I messed that one up a little bit.
You did mess it up.
I went to hit and I missed.
I scared you too, starting the recording.
That's what's up. I was like rushing to pour my whiskey. I poured way too much too.
Yeah, kind of make him rush.
I got fucking like.
You seen him jump? Huh? Did you see him jump?
If we were in the snow, I'd be warm right now. I'll say that.
Yeah.
Thank you, Christopher and Haley Purr again, because I'm still working on that cask.
You love that shit.
I'm putting it down. I'm probably the only one that drinks that. That's your number one.
Yeah.
I'm making it through it.
I don't drink campfires.
It tastes like a delicious campfire. It's a weird thing. Like, it's a mix. You wouldn't think campfires would be delicious, but it is.
All right, let me try it again. Yeah. I haven't had it since the first night.
Well, while Dave is taking a swig of the whiskey, I want to give a shout out to, it's a longtime listener. I know we gave him a shout out a while back, Time Lord at Dr. Gesch, G-E-S-C-H, on Twitter, for making a super Brad punching a Bruce Lee baby. So
it was good. Yeah.
Yeah. And then also, what's the other one? Maddie MPC 25 or MCP 25 on Instagram.
That sounds right.
He did drew our logo with a chupacabra hugging it.
And then
pretty cool.
Also Simplex_winning did a Bruce Lee kicking Gary Coleman's head off in a
Street Fighter.
Yeah. It looks like Mortal Kombat.
Yeah. Pretty cool.
Simplex_winning is knocking out of the park because he also posted a picture of Gary Coleman and like behind him are like a bunch of planets like in the cosmos.
I didn't see that.
You didn't see that one?
No. And he's holding a bottle of El Yucateco.
While we're waiting for that, thank you to Shonuff Nerdy, which is Shonuffnrdy. He's the guy that did the bagel sandwich shout out for us last week.
I did see that.
He's hilarious. I want to hang out with this guy. I want to be friends with him, but he lives far away.
And he's black, so you probably
I didn't realize what was behind it. I did see that.
It's Gary Coleman pointing over like behind his shoulder, and he's pointing at a bottle of El Yucateco, and it says, El Yucateco keeps you looking young, or I am a time-traveling alien.
That's right.
And then it says, find out at Sofa King.
So many people have been sending us pictures. It was hard to keep up. I just started screenshotting them so that I could look through them when we're on the show. I definitely need to give Brian Henderson a big shout-out. During the Bruce Lee episode, I said that I had a newfound respect for Bruce Lee, and I already have like a picture of Einstein hanging on my wall. I'm a big Willie Nelson fan, and I was going to have like an ode to homage like thing on my wall at my house and have like Willie Nelson, a guitar, Bruce Lee nunchucks or something. He photoshopped the three of those guys in a room together, and it looks really good. I'll have to post it. I'm actually getting it printed out. I've already got it in the mix. I emailed it over to Digital Creations, and they're going to print out like a wide format version of it. He gave me a high def version.
Nice.
It looks like they're really sitting there.
No, it does. It's cool. A badass picture.
Which would be rad to have those three in the room. Like, we smoke weed with those guys, like, get high with them or something. That'd be crazy.
This is my impressed face.
Brad isn't impressed with anything.
I was very impressed with it.
I don't know if you think Einstein hit the reefer.
Look at that. The tongue picture alone. He's sticking his tongue out.
You know, Bruce Lee did because he had cannabis in his stomach.
Or he at least
died.
Ate it.
Willie Nelson, come on.
Yeah,
you could fucking smoke Willie Nelson.
I'm pretty sure if you had Bruce Lee and Willie Nelson in the room with Albert Einstein and they passed it to him, he's doing it.
Well, he wouldn't know who either of them were, though.
Yeah. Willie Nelson doesn't smoke, though.
No, not at all.
No.
He's on the straight. No. He's on the up
That's
and up.
That's right. That's right. He's on the straight.
On the up and up.
I have some sort of a mysterious...
goiter.
No.
I thought you were going to say problem.
Well, it is a problem. I have some sort of an El Yucateco goblin in my house.
It's disappearing?
It's disappearing. I had two. I had a bottle.
Last name's not Fisher?
No, she doesn't eat hot sauce. I had a bottle of the black and I had a bottle of the chipotle. And I was going, and I wanted that smoky kind of flavor. I was making like a tofu scramble for breakfast. I have a big pot of it. I'm getting ready to hit it with some hot sauce. I wanted it to be like a smoky hot sauce. Looked in the cupboard. Nothing.
Has that thief, Neil Stanifer, been in your house?
No. Well, yeah. Yes, he has.
Actually. Check his motherfucker's pockets.
He might have. Well, no, because it disappeared. And I can tell you, like, I have very clean kitchen cupboards by anomaly, not because I keep a clean kitchen cupboard, but because like 3 months ago, we had a disgusting moth invasion in our food cabinet. So like anything with flour, crackers, rice, like there were just moths everywhere. So we had to throw everything away that wasn't like canned and sealed, have the cupboard sprayed to get rid of the moths. And then I put, so there's not much in there. So they were like on one fucking completely.
It was the bug man. It was probably the bug guy. No.
Because after it was all cleared out, there was a completely empty shelf that had two things on it. Two bottles of El Yucateco. Only things on the shelf. I went to finally grab them. They're gone.
They're moth proof for sure. Maybe moths are really into me.
Maybe the Mothman.
They ganged up and carried
them away. Maybe the Mothman took my fucking El Yucateco.
I keep all my like flour and sugar in bags. Like get 1 gallon.
Bags inside a can?
No.
Or jar?
Just put them in a Ziploc bag. Like you take the bag of sugar and put it in a Ziploc bag.
Oh, some of them were in the bag.
What?
Yeah. And in sealed fucking Tupperware. They were ever. I have no idea. It was disgusting.
Do that.
It's fucking horrible.
It's a good thing you don't own Pendletons. That'd have been fucking war, man.
Because of the moth, man. Yeah, it was bad. But now the moths are gone, and so is the El Yucateco.
I know a guy that can get you some.
I know. So I'm eyeballing the stash right now. Yeah.
You only have Chipotle as a choice over there.
You guys always got exciting stories. I did yard work. That's it.
That's
weak. That's exciting.
Yard. Trimmed a bush.
Yeah, you did. In the bathroom.
Yeah. Manicured some wood. Uh-huh. Trimmed a bush.
Trimmed the bushes. The porch looks bigger, man. That's a pretty fact, man. That's a technique.
Yeah.
God.
That's a thing, man.
So our topic today, and this is one that people have suggested several times. If you're one of those people, and I don't remember your name, I apologize.
Shout out to you.
And you know you.
Yeah.
You know.
And we know. We just don't want to say
We know. We just don't know right now. And we appreciate it. But you know, and we know. Yep. And everybody else knows it wasn't them. And they're like, fuck, that should have been me.
And we know that you know that we know.
Exactly. Because we're doing this.
Yeah.
And so if you didn't do it, you know that we know that. You know that you didn't do it.
Yep. That's right.
Okay. So,
calling it. Stop that shit right now, man.
And I know there was a movie. There's an air. As soon as you mention Air America, everybody immediately thinks of the movie.
It's hard to make it through Mel Gibson and Robert Downey Jr. to get to the real, like, shit. Like, that's all you find when you start looking for it.
Are you that issuing another challenge?
Mm-mm. No.
No, you can find
like,
it.
No, just on the research. Like, because I researched Air America, and that was all I found was shit on the movie. I had to, like, start putting in Air America
You can
CIA.
Literally find the movie streaming on YouTube before you can, which is difficult before you actually normally do. Yeah, like, usually you can't find that. Some fake shit that takes you to some weird website.
No, I had to start.
I actually didn't run into the movie, really.
Really?
I saw one picture of Mel Gibson in a helicopter.
Brad's all, to be fair, I didn't study
that. I had to start. I had to make sure I said, like, Laos or CIA or something like that, along with Air America.
That's my Air America airline or CIA, and that's it. Just came up with information. So,
aren't you fancy?
Yeah,
I kept typing America, and I didn't understand.
Brent,
I was like, what's
Brent
wrong,
kept looking
I put America.
Brent kept looking at pigeon porn. He couldn't get away from it.
Oh yeah, you got to use a magnifying glass to look at porn, but it's fucking worth
but
it.
But he likes it.
Yeah.
So Air America. In a nutshell, and then we can go into some of the details and history of it. But in a nutshell, Air America was the name of a fake airline.
It wasn't fake.
Well, it wasn't fake.
It was a
CIA-owned airline that would fly, that acted like it had nothing to do with any government. It was just its own corporation. And it would fly into places that the CIA could not legally, or any government could legally fly into, because it's just an airline.
Right.
Like, it's just an airline.
It's
What's
smart.
The problem, right?
Apparently,
it's very
smart. We might have tons of front companies. I was trying to think, like,
no,
what
exactly.
If, what if Starbucks was a fucking
right.
trick?
No.
But they're like, damn, this shit's actually working, man. People fucking love this shit.
Yeah, I'm fucking with you, man.
It's the new MK Ultra. Just everybody drinking drinking lattes. You're just getting fucking stupider by the day.
Like, I know we need to get into Guam, but I was really thinking about these chocolate chip scones. Like, I really think they'd sell good. And then they just fucking have to shift gears because they get into the business.
It kind of fucked me up because it was at one point, it was the large, it was the airline had more aircraft than any other airline on Earth at its height.
Yeah.
What the fuck? And it's completely, so all the money was being made for the flights, them going straight to the CIA. They owned the airline, the pilots, all this stuff. But it was primarily so that they could fly flights into
Laos. Well, in the beginning, they bought it and it was for that, but it couldn't, it wasn't financially stable.
It didn't pay for itself.
Yeah, it wasn't paying for itself at first, but then they started like farming it out to like US Air Force, like, oh, we can transfer some troops.
Yeah, we can send this. Other stuff.
But then eventually, yeah, it actually became like
And it goes back even further. So Air America actually started in 1960, but I read that it was an extension of a project that started in 1950 because the CIA secretly purchased the Civil Air Transport, which was an airline that had been started by China after World War II. So the CIA bought CAT and flew commercial routes through Asia, acting as if it was a completely commercially owned airline.
Yeah.
But then at the same time, it was providing airplane crews that would do intelligence operations. If we're picking up people from China and flying them out, we're just overhearing their, you know, the
right.
stewardess is over listening, you know, overhearing their conversation.
They changed the name to Air America, like right away. They're like, don't
yeah, after yeah. no, after 10 years, they changed it to Air America, yeah. which is a weird name. I don't understand why they did it. But during the Korean War, it made over 100 hazardous overflights over mainland China, where they would actually airdrop agents. Because that's the thing. Once you recognize those planes, and it's just like, oh, it's a CAT plane, and now it's flying in a regular path, but all of a sudden over this one area, if there's no passengers on it, but you act like it's a passenger plane, you kick the door open, drop a bunch of agents and supplies and weapons straight into the middle of China, no one's looking at the airplane because they know exactly where it's launching, where it's landing, and there's this history.
They would fly like as low as 100 feet and kick out bags of rice and shit. It was crazy. That guy's called Kickers. And I saw footage of it just like hitting the ground. I was like, damn, doesn't it just bust and rice go everywhere?
And even at one point, and this is granted, this 1950s thing wasn't necessarily dropping food, but Air America was. And at one point, even the children who grew up in Laos, when they were asked, where does rice come from? They said it falls from the sky.
Yeah. See? And that's why ancient aliens, you should believe that shit.
Yeah.
When they write that on stone and say that gods came from the stars and taught
rice,
us how to do this and then went away back into the sky. That's because that shit fucking happened. That's why.
It was because fucking like the Greys had their own Air America. Mm-hmm. And
there's those tribes on an island like during wartime where they build planes because for a little while we would drop in there. It was a strategic location to stop on their island. We give them spam and fucking noodles and rice and shit. And then the war was over. We took off and they would go and build giant planes made out of like fucking... like
bamboo
and tule fucking grass and shit. And it looks just like a plane.
Right.
And they would just sit there and look up at the sky and wait for it to happen again. Like, bring me spam.
Bring me more food.
Yeah. Right. So it's a testament to the things, like I'm saying, like the ancient astronauts. If we do that and build those things, that's what happened.
What people are going to believe, right? And so the whole Air America thing, I'm reading into it and I'm like, okay, you know what? I'm really curious what the CIA themselves have to say about this. Because I'm like, I know it's out there. I'm wondering how much of this is kind of conspiracy theory bullshit. How much of this is legitimate? You go to the fucking CIA's website. All of this shit is on there.
See, I didn't know.
There's no conspiracy theory.
We owned a commercial airline. We operated illegally over all these countries in Asia for 20 years.
I watched an interview with a historian that said he had interviewed over 300 plus people that were from like mechanics to pilots to kickers to like anyone involved in any portion of the operation. And he saw zero evidence of any type of drug trafficking from the 300 because he like wrote a book about it. And then you come in and tell me, so I'm interested to hear what you found.
Yeah, we'll
definitely. I didn't go straight to the site.
And I wouldn't think
they put it on there. You know?
Well, the thing is that their website says, we never made money selling drugs. This is a paraphrase, but it says, we never made money selling drugs through Air America. We never consciously moved drugs through Air America.
It sounds like song.
But it says that it says... Like the website said something like history shows that heroin was pushed on these planes, but the agency had no knowledge of it.
Those are song lyrics.
Okay.
How do you fucking run the plane and not know if you're trafficking opium?
Well, one thing that they said was that and I'm going to pronounce it wrong. There was a group that they were helping to fund called the Hmong.
Right.
The Hmong, who were in Laos, they were an indigenous people in Laos, and they would fight the Viet Cong during Vietnam. And Laos is right next to Vietnam. This is all happening during the Vietnamese War, right? So, like, and the whole thing is kind of fucked up. So Vietnam is really just symbolic of the Cold War. Vietnam is just a way for us and the Soviet Union to fight each other without really fighting each other.
Yeah.
So we can have Americans and Vietnamese people kill each other. We're pussyfooting around, and it's a way to have a war without having a war. But then Laos was like one step even weirder, because Laos was next to Vietnam and wasn't quite Vietnam, which wasn't quite the real war. So it was like Laos was this extra shadow war that was going on. But the Hmong mercenaries and soldiers that would be transported on Air America, it said that almost all of them smoked opium as a recreation. They would fight, they would smoke opium. So they were saying there was probably opium on almost every flight, because people had a bag of opium right next to their, you know, AK-47, but we weren't smuggling opium, right? So I think that was what the CIA's official stance
was. It came up because of something called like the Plain of Jars. Is that what it said? Did you see that?
The Plain of Jars.
The Plain of Jars, which is super cool in itself. Yeah. It's like a bunch of megalithic like jars made out of giant stones that were some kind of burial chambers.
Yeah.
But that's like where they would land normally for their opium export for that group of people that you're saying. Mm-hmm. And something happened because that got overtaken. And they strategically needed those people to be able to do that. So they either at least liberated it for them so that they could continue to do it, I read, or assisted possibly in the transportation. But that's all I could really find on them transporting.
I read that the reason that they were able to transport it is because the place with the planes didn't have planes light enough to land on top of the mountain where the opium was being grown in the dirt fields. Yeah.
Right.
And so like Air America had smaller planes, which were able to land in kind of rockier, you know, shitty runways.
And a lot of helicopters too.
Helicopters and stuff. So like that was how they got opium basically from where it was into Laos.
And again, this is the whole thing. So the Plain of Jars, which was an area like, because again, it's really mountainous, jungly, horrible terrain, but the Plain of Jars happens to be a place you can land.
Right.
And it wasn't just that this was a strategic place for someone to get opium in and out. It was the only strategic place where you could land and launch any major airplanes in this entire region.
Yeah.
So whoever controlled the Plain of Jars controlled air traffic potentially into Hanoi, into Vietnam, into all these different areas. So it was a lot of supply, like the Ho Chi Minh Trail and the Plain of Jars were like the two main ways to get shit in and out of Vietnam. And both of them, the Plain of Jars is in Laos and the Ho Chi Minh Trail went through Laos. So it was vital that the U.S. controlled portions of Laos or it couldn't succeed in Vietnam. And the Soviets were backing one side of the people in Laos trying to fuck with the Americans, and the Americans were backing the other side, and this is where Air America started to get involved.
Yeah, they had to be super strategic about like where the terrain was so rough, they would send helicopters in to land to try to have the indigenous people create small runways and like take out tree trunks and clear to make these little runways that went uphill because there was so little room. They would have to land and go up an incline so that they would slow down enough, but still be able to try to turn around and take off with a quickness because most of the time they were under fire. Like I saw interviews with pilots and stuff, and it was gangster that they would have the things they would have to drop and land on these little tiny spots. Like they said, it was pretty much to the point that once you acted like you were going to land, you had to commit like you were in. Like if you're going for it, it's over. There was a point of no return. You're landing, whether you're crashing or there's people shooting at you, you have to land. Like you have no choice because of the way it was set up.
And they flew super crazy missions. They flew missions far more dangerous than regular Air Force pilots flew, in shittier planes with no bulletproofing. I mean, they were flying very hazardous missions in very hazardous terrain. And again, they were all trained by the U.S. Army. By the Air Force. They were trained, you know, recently retired, you know, people who are now private contractors. Hundreds of them.
And sadly, you know, not really taken care of until like some of them through like long legal battles against the CIA finally got some kind of compensation.
Because I had read something like I had read 400 by the end of the war, by the end of the Vietnam War, 400 Air America pilots had been killed, shot down and killed, and almost 400 were missing in action.
Yeah. I mean, even things like there was this horrible story. I don't know if you saw, but towards the end of the war, they were trying to get orphan babies onto the plane. Did you see that?
No.
They were trying to get orphan babies, and there's video footage of them loading the plane with all these babies. I mean, a bunch of babies. Like, Brad would have had a heyday. Too soon. Because you know what happens. But, dude, I don't know. A lot of babies. They're just putting babies on the plane, putting babies on the plane. And then the civilians try to climb on the plane, and they're starting to overpack it, and they're trying to get in there with the baby because they want to get out. And they have to take off, like, with a quickness and an emergency, and they crashed.
Ugh.
They killed all the babies. Like, it was gnarly. Yeah, like, super sad stories, really rough conditions. It was just
They killed the babies without punching them first? Yeah,
but no babies were punched in the making of that.
That's a waste. Yeah.
They might have punched them on the way in. Like, that was the ticket.
Maybe. That's how you got on the plane.
That might have been how you got on the plane.
That's how they get them. That's how you get slant eyes. They punch them.
I cannot support nor condone Brad's statements. Oh, my God. He's grounded from the next podcast, guys. I promise. Totally grounded.
So there ends up being this shadow war in Laos, and the United States and Thailand are propping up the right-wing government. They're using Thai mercenaries. They're fighting against with the Laotian army. But North Vietnam, China, and the Soviet Union were supporting the other side, the Pathet Lao, which were helping the Viet Cong in Vietnam. So it's like the Cold War is this superpower showdown, and then this is like the mini version. This little shadow war in Laos lasted for about 10 years, and they think that a total of about 500 American soldiers died, and that somewhere between 35,000, and this is a very rough estimate, between 35,000 and 200,000 Laotians died during this period. Like, I have no idea. That's a wide range.
Between 3 and 600,000 died.
Between 35,000 and 200,000. Mm-hmm. Was like that's quite a range,
somewhere between there.
So there were only a couple of hundred pilots in Laos because it was mostly an air position, but there were over 55,000 North Vietnamese troops in Laos. So it was like a big fucking deal. Like Laos was very important, but then it stopped because in 1962 the Geneva Accords got passed and it prevented any American plane from flying in. So in 1962, planes can no longer fly into Laos. So this whole thing becomes pointless. There's no reason to keep fighting over Laos because the U.S. can't get there.
Right.
And this is why Air America becomes important. So the CIA, the U.S. Air Force, nothing can go into Laos. But this company that we've owned since 1950, that is clearly just an airplane company, can fly in and out.
And as little as 12 people knew that the CIA had any ties to it. Like they distanced themselves with like holding companies above by multi layers. Like a couple companies were above that before there was any kind of tie.
Right.
They were smart about it.
I mean, and again, like you said, I mean, you joked about Starbucks, but as soon as I was reading the fact that they owned this airline for decades and just ran it like an airline. And it just kind of made me think, well, what the fuck else did they own?
Yeah. Do they own microphones?
There's microphones at McDonald's or something like all the McDonald's in the world.
It's fucking crazy. No, it just makes you realize the shady
shit. It's not Starbucks or McDonald's. It's some random company that you wouldn't suspect. It's just like, oh yeah, I've heard of them.
Right. Right.
And you know what I mean? And it's like, oh yeah, the CIA owns them. In 20 years, we'll be doing this podcast. Exactly. With y'all gray. Like, can you believe it? Back in 2016, you know, like
T-Mobile.
Yeah.
Who knew?
Yeah. That's why their reception was so shitty. Cause they were always listening. Like there were so many taps.
They're using the bandwidth.
Just the bandwidth was just so used up.
So, but part of this, so with what was happening there was, it was pretty much the ground troops that were on Laos that were going in through, Air America ended up being either CIA operatives or, the Green Berets. And their primary mission was to disrupt the supply lines on the Ho Chi Minh Trail. And this is what Air America was doing completely illegally against all international conventions. That's why I was really surprised when I was reading the CIA website and it was like, yep, we did that. That was us.
Yeah.
Because it was just completely fucking illegal.
They say that it has a bad rap on the website though.
Yeah.
Partially because of the movie. Came out.
Yeah. They blame the movie for the bad rap.
So kind of interesting.
The, And then the people, right, the Hmong tribesmen, they end up, there was a very important person named Vang Pao, who was the guy who ran the army of the Hmong tribesmen. And one of his whole things was getting opium to his soldiers. And this is why a lot of historians think that Air America was definitely in the opium gang. But what they did, the Hmong were trained by the CIA, and their primary mission was to rescue downed American pilots from the jungle, identify targets for American bombs, to fight Lao and Vietnamese communist forces, to man strategic mountain and jungle areas used by U.S. forces illegally, and then they disrupted and sabotaged supply lines, gathered intelligence, and defended navigational sites in Laos for U.S. airstrikes. So they like fucking just ran shit for the CIA. The death rates among the Hmong were five times that of the U.S. forces in Vietnam. They were just getting fucking chewed up and spit out. And again, most of them were doing heroin and buying heroin and so forth, and they were being transported by Air America. So they're at least in that regard, there was definitely heroin
in their pockets.
Yeah, in their pockets, you know, in their rucksacks, etc. So the Hmong were fucking badass, and I've never heard of them before in my life, but they're in the jungle doing badass shit. Did you see anything just on them?
Sitting around in fucking trees all day long.
That's what they do.
Sniping people off.
They're right below the Japanese.
Yeah. Just on the same, on same tree.
Second rung.
Yeah,
century,
yeah. Or second tier.
These fucking trees are getting crowded.
Second tree tier, yeah.
Yeah. Tier two. Tier two tree smugglers.
So, then another thing that stops this whole Laos thing, Kennedy gets involved and gets Geneva to start talking. And this is when Laos becomes neutral, not communist. And they say that it becomes run by what they call the three princes, which is three political factions, one that's completely communist, one that's completely democratic, and one that's completely neutral. But either way, supposedly the Soviet Union and America can no longer be in Laos. It's a huge tactical blow to both sides, except the CIA can run Air America.
The Spin Doctors wrote a song about it, actually. Like back in the 90s, nothing. Somewhere someone's like, Brad's asleep over there anyway.
Do you want to explain that one?
Nah, I didn't
think. Okay.
Just back off of it. Somebody did get your joke, the whatever, one of the six nerds or whatever.
Leroy Jenkins.
Leroy, no.
Yeah, someone got the Leroy Jenkins.
Oh, yeah. It was you, Dave, huh?
Spin Doctors had that song Little Miss Can't Be Wrong. It was like Two Princes, I think. I don't know. I was trying to play off that. It sucked. This is a bad joke.
Okay. Moving so on. By 1966, Air America has 6,000 employees, right? Most of whom have no idea they're working for the CIA.
Right.
Like they're just fucking doing
this. They're just
working. Just, there had to be rumors.
I'm just kicking bags of rice.
Why is there always green berets on the plane? I don't understand.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, they knew they were.
They don't have to wear berets all the time.
Well, they were definitely probably military contractors, because they were over the middle of enemy territory dumping rice out of their planes. There were green berets jumping out of their planes.
They were green berets when they were undercover. They're just buff guys with green berets in their hair.
Right. Yeah.
A lot of their missions involved like taking like people who were from a village that had just gotten destroyed, and they would completely relocate the village. So a lot of it was rescue operations, like you said, with those babies, all that kind of stuff. But I'm sure they knew they were doing some shit with the military for sure, because their missions weren't just, I'm fucking flying you to some nice airport. Like,
I mean, you don't know who owns the planes, though.
We should be there in an hour, but we're gonna fly to 100 feet, open the doors, kick some shit out, and just be on our way.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, they probably knew what they were doing, but knowing that the CIA owns this fucking airline is different than, hey, we're getting on this plane, flying over and doing this mission.
Right.
You know, so, I mean, they probably knew what they were doing.
They knew they were doing some shady shit for the U.S. government, for sure. I mean, maybe some of them didn't. There might've been planes that were just purely passenger planes and you're just transporting passengers or soldiers or whatever. But then there were going to be missions that were like, by the way, you're flying at night, 100 feet above the canopy. Yeah. There's going to be a bunch of green berets and crates, and you're going to dump them.
You would think there would have to be like normal flights, because people would start questioning, like,
absolutely,
what the fuck is this airline company doing?
Yeah, there would have to be a lot of normal flights.
They're doing all these weird patterns and weird shit, you know, so they would probably have normal flights. And then in between, like you said, do some fucking right. secret mission shit.
And this is, you know, pre-global radar and shit. So even if it was like, oh, this plane's going to launch at 6 and land at, you know, 12, you could have had a plane in the middle that took off and yeah. lands instead at 12.
Right.
And you're like, oh, it made it and it's got passengers like, on
nope,
it.
And nope, that one's not on the schedule. Right. We don't know what you're talking
like
about.
You, yeah. I mean, it'd be a lot easier to pull this. Like right now, it'd be impossible to pull it off because of transponders yeah. and radar and fucking spy satellites. But at the time, you know, all you have to do is keep the people on the ground, keep the Soviet Union thinking this is a real airline company, and then you're in business and you can keep fucking, yeah. you know, doing stuff because you're not breaking Geneva conventions by doing this smuggling. It's just a company doing yeah. whatever it wants to do.
Nowadays, the other major governments have some kind of thing like this too. So like,
oh, did they?
Yeah. I don't know what their companies would be, but there's some secret China shit probably here. Who knows?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Russia has front companies like that.
Oh, I'm yeah, yeah.
yeah. yeah. yeah. I'm sure this wasn't an original idea. They probably, you know what I mean? They've it's probably spawned from other, you know, oh, they're doing it. We might as well do it
better.
Too.
We'll do it better. Yeah. But at their height in 1970, it was doing 30,000 flights per month.
That's not bad.
That's a fucking lot of flights. I mean, that's a lot of flights. That's 1,000 flights a day.
Yeah, I saw they were doing like 400 drops a day in Vietnam or something like that.
Yeah. And granted, a lot of them are just a small, you know, a Huey dropping off a couple of people.
Right.
It's not like it's all like major jet airlines doing stuff.
It's just in and out. Just in and out.
A fleet of a lot of small planes and shit. But 1,000 operations a day. That's massive, dude.
And a lot of it I saw, I wasn't sure if we were doing it strategically, but like because of like dropping Agent Orange, we were like ruining crops. And so that's why we had to start bringing in food, or if we did that to disrupt the food supply and then make them dependent on the food. I was confused about that, but we brought
probably in I would say to disrupt the food supply because at any time you could stop
those planes.
You know what
though,
I mean? Like
they carried shit like chickens, pigs, buffalo, cattle. I was like, that's fucking
well, but
crazy.
I think you're also supporting your allies. I mean, if the Hmong live in like these horrible fucking, you can't land there, crazy mountainous regions and they're constantly at war and there's no way to get up the mountain and you can drop pigs and rice and all this shit for them, you're just supplying your soldiers that aren't your soldiers.
The pig just hits the ground though? Like,
no,
or they put them in on parachutes?
And let them out. Yeah, I don't know.
I think they would put them in, you'd probably put them in a parachuted pen, like put a bunch of them in a pen and drop it. I don't think they gave a shit if the pig
got
hurt.
Anyway.
I mean, you know.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, but maybe.
It's bacon. Bacon's bacon, man.
Yeah, so they would end up doing that, but they, during 1970, Air America airdropped or landed over 20,000 tons of foodstuffs, mainly rice, in Laos. Flight time reached more than 4,000 hours a month, just helicopters. In Vietnam, Air America served about 12,000 passengers a month. That was probably the legit side of it.
Yeah.
And those passengers included U.S. aid people, missionaries, military personnel, journalists, government officials, doctors going into the area. So they had legitimate reasons to go in there. And I'm sure
Nixon even flew on Air America.
Oh, did he really?
Yeah, they even took Richard
so,
Nixon.
I mean, if you're a pilot and you've got a bunch of nurses and doctors and medical supplies and you're heading into this shit and you know you're going to take fire from the North Vietnamese army, you're like, well, fuck it. Let's do it. We got to get, the, you know, so it's like you would still be a noble person doing this thing. And you know you're doing some pseudo military or relief thing. But again, you don't necessarily know that you're fucking owned by the CIA and that's where your paycheck's
I saw a guy that was risking his life and he was literally taking some like something called pest strips. Like I picture like sticky peel fucking rat traps or something. That's what his plane was full of. And he's like fucking dropping in to deliver that. It's like he has a job to do it. He's going to do it. I was like, damn, that's gangster.
That is gangster,
fucking,
man.
He's going to take some fucking mouse traps. Like that's fucking risking your life.
Give them Vietnamese sticky boots.
And then so
can't catch me.
Part of it, when you talk about this, the general Vang Pao with his army, they said his army was about 45,000 people. So they would always drop spies and reconnaissance missions for them and with them. And they would always resettle the refugees of people who were getting killed in this shadow war in Laos. Cause I remember I growing up in Battle Creek, one of the federal buildings is in Battle Creek. And my brother worked at one of the federal buildings. He was in like Civil Air Patrol, like the high school, I'm going to be in the Air Force kind of a group. So if you were in CAP, you could work at the federal building under a military officer. And he worked there under this guy who was a Vietnam helicopter pilot. He was a Huey pilot. and he would never obviously talk about the shit that he did. But like at one point my brother was hanging out with him and the guy was like drinking whiskey because they were like filing all this paperwork after hours. And this fucking old, like retired lieutenant colonel is just drinking and talking. And like he and my brother was like, what was like the coolest thing that you ever saw when you were over there? And he like tells him this story and he's like, you know, this never really happened, of course, because we weren't in Laos. But when I was on my way back from flying a mission in Laos, my helicopter got shot down by the MVA, who also weren't in Laos. So I was just stuck in the middle of the jungle in the wrong country. I had no idea where I was. And it was just me and one other guy survived the crash. So we just started walking through the jungle. And he said that all of a sudden he started hearing the fucking Jimi Hendrix Star Spangled Banner.
Yes.
Like just blaring through.
It's a Forrest Gump story.
So he goes over to the jungle and there's a fucking tank with a bunch of high as fuck U.S. tank drivers in the middle of Laos that just stole a tank and were stoned sitting around in Laos. And he was like,
"Get you to walk up though." You're like,
"Yeah." But they walk up in their fucking flight shit and they're right. Like, "What are you guys doing here?" They're like, "What are you guys doing here?" Like, "Our helicopter crashed." They're like, "Oh, don't sweat it. Sit on back. We'll get you home." And they just fucking drove back into Vietnam.
That Jimi Hendrix part makes it so fucking cool.
That makes it so 60s.
Smoking weed in the jungle.
But he was like, "Yeah, that was probably the craziest thing I've ever seen in my life." He was like, we were dead.
That sounds just like a scene from Forrest Gump.
Like, we were going to end up in a fucking, you know, camp. We were going to get a disease. Like, we're in the middle of the worst jungle you can imagine. And all of a sudden, we just start tracking them booming this out of the fucking.
That could have went a lot worse. Like, sewing your balls on.
Those guys are fucking awesome. They're just like, fucking put on the Jimi Hendrix. They're just like, fucking super loud.
Yeah.
Put it on the loudspeaker, boy. Boys.
Vietnam was a hell of a war.
To these slant eye motherfuckers who's coming.
It's like, fucking get they're just out there in a fucking tank. Just in a tank that they stole.
Rolling over shit.
All along, all along the watchtower would have been better.
That would have been good. And then none of them got in trouble for stealing the tank.
You un-American motherfucker.
That's right. No one got in trouble for stealing the tank because they just rescued these two pilots.
Yeah.
So everybody was
had to steal the tank.
So again, the war in Laos that didn't exist in Laos was really a thing. And this guy was an Air Force pilot, not Air America, but obviously even America was flying shit into Laos.
Of course.
But so when it comes to the heroin thing, I know you said that you hadn't seen stuff, but I looked at a really big expose written by a guy named Larry Collins for the LA Times, and he was looking a lot at this idea of the drugs. And he said that the operations in Laos were all CIA responsibility because they ran Air America. And they talk specifically about Vang Pao, that guy who ran all of the different tribesmen and all that stuff. But their primary crop and source of income was poppies.
Right.
Not just for their own smoking, but that was how they survived. That was how they funded their weapons.
I think that's that plane of jars thing I read. Somehow tied, yeah.
That was how they did everything. So you're getting the largest army you have in Laos only survives by being able to sell poppies outside of the area.
Right.
And their airlines have all been cut off by the Geneva Convention or the Geneva Code. Therefore, Air America is the only thing getting in and out.
Yeah.
So in spite of all the people saying, you know, I don't think that they were doing that, et cetera, there's a lot of people that he was interviewing that were saying that there was. He talked about allegations that he couldn't track down and prove that a lot of it had connections with some kind of a mafia family in Florida.
But then again, it was only poppies at that point. It wasn't like the refined product. You're just saying like it was like poppy seeds, like bags of poppy seeds.
You know what they're doing with it.
Yeah, No.
They're not making muffins.
Vang Mao had an established heroin refining lab in his area.
I mean,
what they called region.
Is that the commodity that needed to be moved, or was it the actual like seeds?
It was refined heroin.
Oh, okay.
They weren't taking
it to Florida.
They were moving heroin out. They said that at one point, the Bureau of Narcotics and Dangerous Drugs, which is what it was called at the time, the BNDD,
Can't read good.
Yeah. BNDD. But they...
very good.
At one point, they seized an Air America DC-3 loaded with heroin packed into Tide boxes, like the soap powder. And as soon as they got in and they were like, do you know what's in this plane? They immediately got shut down by the CIA and said, get the fuck off our plane.
Yeah. Oh,
wow. And just had to bail because this is a CIA operation.
There's an article in the New York Times from 1993 by a guy named Larry Collins, and it's titled "The CIA Drug Connection is as Old as the Agency."
Yeah.
And it just goes through just thing after thing after thing after thing after thing that the CIA is tied to with drugs,
right?
Whether it be this, you know, this little war where they're transporting heroin, or another war where they're transporting heroin, or Korea where they're transporting heroin, right.
And he talks
where
about
transporting cocaine. Yep. I mean, it's insane.
In this particular thing, he said that the trail was they would get the heroin was refined in Laos, put on CIA planes, and it was flown to Panama City Airport in the Philippines and Manuel Noriega, who ran it, knew everything about it.
Then
Manuel Noriega was getting it shuttled from the Philippines to Spain, where it was selling in Europe.
Right.
So, I mean, that was the trail. So the CIA claiming they didn't know that was happening, maybe the CIA wasn't making money on it, but
right.
Your guy can only supply the troops you need to keep supplying if they can sell their heroin that they are refining in fucking Laos, and their train is to get it to the Philippines and then to Spain, and it only can get out with Air America planes.
So you're saying you're okay with it? I mean, what else were they going to do, right? That's what you're saying? You're okay with it?
I'm not saying I'm okay with it. I'm saying that sounds fucking like happened.
Yeah.
Like, I'm saying
it sounds like that had to happen strategically. Like, there's probably no way around that.
Now, there was another guy named Tony Poe, who apparently is a complete fucking lunatic. He's the guy who they kind of based Apocalypse Now off of.
I heard he's completely Hussein.
He was a CIA operative who just kind of went native and lived among the Hmong people in Laos, and they fucking loved him, and he hung out with them, and his he was an Air America guy and a CIA guy, so his Air America connections kept getting them a lot of really good food and a lot of everything, and they kind of idolized him, and he was like their guy. But he came out and was interviewed. Some people tracked him down and interviewed him about Air America, and he said that he saw heroin, gold, silver, and everything you can imagine going on and off the planes, and that the U.S. never cared because Powell was doing his job and providing fighters, and that the fighters needed to sell and smoke opium, and that was it. Like, and I mean,
keep them high.
There's a lot of smoking heroin guns that point towards the fact that they were doing it. And again, I mean, it shouldn't be that big of a surprise. I mean, all the shit that we found when we did the thing about the whole crack cocaine epidemic in LA and in America. I mean, we did that episode a while back. And again, the CIA.
And that's not the first time they've smuggled, or last time they smuggled cocaine into the United States or elsewhere.
And even a lot of the wording on the CIA website is like, the CIA didn't profit from any drugs that were being. It's like, I mean,
the thing is, though, like,
they cleverly word the way that they say
if
all
you
this.
Have 30,000 soldiers that are enlisted under the CIA that are helping you do shit.
Mm-hmm.
And they're all fucking addicted to heroin. You got to keep them going.
Right.
I mean, you got to keep them.
And if they're only going to fight because their children and their wives and all that stuff are happy, and their children and their wives rely on heroin as a product to keep them fed, et cetera,
gotta
it's not
do it.
Just keeping the soldiers high.
And
it's keeping the poppies being sold.
It's not necessarily an evil plan. I mean, you know what I mean? Like, they had to do what they had to do to keep, you know, what they had going.
Right.
So,
yeah,
I mean,
it's just like they just
whether it's good or bad,
a break in the path, honestly. Yeah. They were like, well, we can't let this shit stop right here. Let's just jump this shit across for them. It wasn't like the secret CIA drug smuggling thing where they were like transporting drugs from Colombia or something to be sold in the United States and fucking Florida.
To fund a war.
Yeah, to fund
a war.
I mean, at the end of the day, though, there's people.
It's bullshit.
There's people in fucking Spain who are dying from fucking heroin ODs because the CIA.
No, it's
got like, how many would have died? It's still how many would die?
No, that becomes
it's like,
the question.
I mean, it's the same thing, you know, the cocaine in America, you know, like if we wouldn't allow, you know, the Contras to sell drugs in America, then what would have happened? We would have lost this other thing over here. Does it create this like butterfly effect of like the world isn't the same as it is now?
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. Like it's,
and I mean, the other,
it's
the
hard
other,
to say.
It's this particular one. It becomes a tough, I mean, A, they were breaking international law. Fucking no doubt about it. I mean,
but the CIA
take the drugs out of the equation.
Yeah.
Take the drugs out of the equation. They're already breaking international law by sneaking in with these airplanes.
That's what the CIA is for. CIA does, I mean, what do you think the KGB does? You think they're like, oh, no, we can't go over there.
We can't break international law.
Yeah. I mean, Jesus. Don't want to piss off the UN or anybody. Yeah. Like, no, they're like, fuck those guys. Like, they created a law. We're going around it.
When you start to look at those black market issues, it's like someone, whether it's the CIA or not, someone is going to profit from the Hmong people. Someone's going to get that heroin out of Laos so the Hmong people can keep making money.
It's one of those things.
And in this case, the CIA already has the infrastructure right there. So fuck it, put it on the plane.
Yeah.
Like, what do we care?
Keep it going.
I mean, at a certain point, like if your goal is to win Vietnam and the Hmong are cutting off the supply trail to the Vietnamese soldiers and it relies on us getting their heroin to Spain.
Yeah.
As a matter of national defense, as a matter of saving American soldiers in Vietnam, you need to get that heroin out of Laos.
If there was a question about it, you could be like, look, this is what we're doing. It's to save Americans' lives. You know what I mean? Like, yes, we have to do some bullshit, but it's to save, you know, our troops. Oh, they're like, okay, like, go ahead. We don't give a fuck about
them. The fact that we shouldn't fucking be in Vietnam in the first place is a totally different issue.
We weren't talking about that. No. We were just talking about reasoning.
Mean, I'm just saying I could see that every CIA agent involved wasn't some like completely evil cold. It was like some of them might have honestly been like, look, if we do this, we're going to keep the supply lines cut off and we're going to save
Americans. And it didn't start as that either. It started as an intelligence gathering thing.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Like, and it was
a necessity basically to have this front corporation and
whether
airline.
Those pilots did that, there's some serious heroes involved there too, like those guys need to be
and there's a lot
commended.
I think that's something we should definitely talk about. There was a book called The Ravens that was written by a guy named Christopher Robbins, which that's
Winnie the Pooh's
friend. That is the name of Winnie the Pooh's friend, isn't it? So this
oh bother
yeah maybe the 40-acre wood was full of Hmong tribesmen selling poppies.
That's in the honey pot.
That was the honey pot. It was the plain of jars.
And Tigger was high as fuck.
Let's just
get that out there right now. Yeah. That bouncy motherfucker.
I think Winnie the Pooh is the story of Air America. some fucking
rabbit was really growing poppies.
Yeah.
Christopher Robbins was the airplane. I think we're onto something here. But according to this book called The Ravens, and that's what the Air America pilots were called. They were called the Ravens. He wrote a book about it, and he said that the quote, the pilots in the other theater, and by that he meant the official pilots in Vietnam fighting the war.
Right.
The pilots in the other theater were military men, but flew into battle the other theater. He called this the other theater. Vietnam was the theater of war. The shadow war in Laos was the other theater. Hmm. Sorry. So the pilots in the other theater, the Air America pilots, were military men, but flew into battle in civilian clothes, denim cutoffs, t-shirts, cowboy hats, and dark glasses. They fought with obsolete aircrafts, suffered the highest casualty rate of the Indochina War, as high as 50%. Each pilot was obliged to carry, and I did not know this, each pilot was obliged to carry a small pill of lethal shellfish toxin, especially created by the CIA, which he had to swear to take if they ever fell into
any hands. You don't want to get captured.
So they had fucking shellfish toxin pills. So if they crashed and were getting captured, they were supposed to take it. But
you can't come up with a different poison. Why is it made out of shellfish? What's
maybe
up with
it's
that?
The most effective.
Allergen. I don't know. Yeah. Everybody, they're like, are you allergic to shellfish? Sure. They're like, nope. They're like, well, you're not our pilot.
That's weird.
So the death rate was 50% higher for the Air America pilots.
Suicide mission.
Yeah. But 50-50
yeah, chance. Them.
Yeah. And they're ex-military guys.
Yeah, the documentary that I made was a very selfless, like, risk-taking, like, they looked like heroes, and drugs were not mentioned in the whole thing.
Well, of course
not. Those dudes, like, risk their life to deliver food and anything drugs. From commandos, Rambo, politicians, like it painted a different picture. But obviously, from what you're saying,
well, there's two sides to every story. I mean, that is part of it. They were doing those things.
I don't think it's that there's two sides to every story. There's two fucking sides of every airplane trip. Yeah. We're flying in a bunch of aid and doctors and fucking all this shit, and we still got to fly back. What should we load up on the plane? True. How about some of that sweet heroin?
we're already
heading that way. Yeah. Like, I mean, it doesn't mean that you're not like get or that you don't even know. I mean, you're just the pilot. You might just be sitting in the.
I thought it was tied.
If you're doing a thousand runs a month, these guys are probably flying more than one run a day. Oh, they're probably sitting in the cockpit, getting refueled. Yeah. Shit's being transferred in the back of their plane. They never even leave except to take a piss. There's a bunch of more crates in the back of the fucking plane. They take off. They land.
And they said it was crazy too. There wasn't like a set plan, like strategy. They're like, make this happen. You need to get this here to here. They showed dudes with like jugs, like transferring fuel into like a bucket and then climbing up some crazy rinky-dink bamboo ladder to pour fuel into some fucking spigot because that's how they were gonna have to gas their plane on the way back. Yeah. Like, it was gnarly, the things they had to do.
It's crazy. And just, I mean, again, to be in a shitty civilian aircraft with no gear. It's like the military thing, you're going to have
flying into a war zone. Yeah,
you're going to have like some bulletproofing under your cockpit. You're going to have a flak jacket. You're going to have a fucking ejection seat.
Early on, they were even encouraged to not carry weapons of any sort. Like, they weren't supposed to have guns. I'm sure they did. They were encouraged was the wording. But the sadder part is after the war, the dissolution of the airline, because it was no longer needed.
Right.
The airline was sold off for like $25 to $30 million. Yep. And the CIA kept the money. Like, they could, if they're going to be sneaky, they could sneakily compensate the injured and fucking maimed pilots and families.
Why would they do that?
Because they did things for our country?
Yeah, but it's the CIA.
Well, but here's the thing. Why would a company do that?
If a company just
liquidated itself, it doesn't give all of the money to the people who flew there. So if you wanted to close the book looking like a company the whole time, you're not fucking doing it.
It just seems like it was the right thing to do.
Yeah.
You're talking about the CIA, though.
Yeah, I know.
CIA and the right thing to do.
What the fuck's wrong with you?
So I don't know. So, I mean, it raises questions. I mean, I don't know how much of it did actually help.
I mean, it was a bullshit war anyway.
Sounds like it wasn't necessary.
The whole reason that it was even together was it's bullshit anyway. You know what I mean? Like the wars, all that shit, the Vietnam War, the Laos shit, it's all bullshit.
Right.
It's all bullshit.
Yeah.
So all of that shit happened for fucking basically no reason. I mean, it's just
Lieutenant Dan lost his legs.
Yes. But he does work on the shrimp boat now.
He has stock in Apple too, which made him be able to work on the shrimp boat and realize his dream.
And now they give him prosthetic legs and he works on NCIS, all that good stuff.
They're magic legs, actually.
CSI New York or whatever he's on now. He's doing really good.
Yeah. He always wears long pants so you can't see his magic legs.
Magic legs. He's really fast though. Really fast.
I wonder if he was smuggling heroin on the shrimp boats.
Probably. You can probably.
No, I don't know. I didn't know very much about Air America, but I mean, in all honesty, the pilots who were flying those missions were truly heroic.
Yeah.
That's what I wanted to get across. I feel like they should have been compensated. You got $30 million. If you can make all that other shit happen, you can make that happen. But people died like of their injuries and of their ailments before being compensated. And people's husbands and dads and grandfathers died. You know what I mean? And they were doing something honorable for our country. And they didn't get compensated.
No,
you know?
And they never got any.
I mean, there's probably a ton of people that work for the CIA that die on secret missions and stuff, and nobody will ever know.
Right. I mean, every one of those,
only pick those people if they don't have a family and shit. Like, these are regular.
Not necessarily.
Pilots.
I mean, you don't know.
No, like, I saw Men in Black. That's how that shit works. You can't have friends or family.
But I mean, all of these pilots who fucking got hit, they don't have fucking Purple Heart. All of these pilots, they didn't get fucking medals. They don't have a fucking.
Yeah, with the CIA coming out about it, like putting it on their website, they should at least, like you said, go back. Not necessarily compensate them with money, but
honor the people
that died or lost something, and so that their families, this guy died.
Some of the people from Laos, because immediately after the war was over, I guess like aggressive fucking communist something moved back in, and it was dangerous for the people that had assisted, like Air America and assisted Americans. And somehow some of them got to relocate. Like I saw a couple went to Florida, and they have like four successful businesses and sent their kids.
No, they helped. They helped a lot of, as it was all going south, the Air America did help relocate a lot of people who were going to get fucked up.
That's once probably what Laos happened to their money.
Like folding, and they were just like loading the planes up and just getting refugees the fuck out of Laos.
There's a project right now. They're trying to appeal to the like United States Postal Service to make a stamp. They use that iconic image of like the guy reaching down from the helicopter, and there's just that line of people. Have you seen that image?
Mm-mm.
It's just a bunch of people trying to evacuate.
Yeah, he's getting the people out of the CIA.
And everyone thinks that that helicopter is like a military helicopter, but it's actually an Air America helicopter in that image.
Oh, wow.
And the guy's like reaching down. It's a super iconic picture from them trying to evacuate from Vietnam.
Like an actual photograph?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so
it's like a CIA base, like where they had it at in it was in Laos, right?
It's like 100 people on some stairs, and like four people fit in a helicopter.
Yeah. Right.
So I don't know how many helicopters are moving in and out, but it's actually an Air America helicopter, and it gets confused that people think it's some type of army helicopter.
Well, the thing is, if they were flying a fucking 1,000 missions a day, they could have got a whole lot of people out of there. Even if you were put, I mean, you know, 4,000 helicopter hours a month, it said, at their height. That's, I mean, if you're...
Some of the pilots got trampled, like some guy's leg got broke because they were going in there trying to save the people, but so many people were trying to clamber into the plane that they were just like getting trampled and shit.
It's that one right there.
There you go. Yeah, that's it.
Oh, crazy. I've never seen that picture before.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's Mel Gibson. Huey. I mean, that's typically a military helicopter but
hold, pause for the picture. Like that looks posed.
Look at my ass.
Yeah.
Everybody left, smile, shoulders down. Yeah. They're posing for that shit.
And I think about 4 minutes later, the guy who took that picture was like, God damn it.
Yeah.
I should have been on that helicopter.
He's like, I'm at the end of the line. God, son of a bitch. Damn it.
Like, that's a dope picture, though.
It's like when you just missed the green light.
But
way worse.
Little worse. So I don't know, man. Air America, it's a trip. It instantly makes me wonder what the fuck else does the CIA own?
Yeah.
I mean,
not only the CIA, but there's other like corporations own other front companies and government owns other front companies.
Sure.
You know, not only just something that's ran by the CIA. There's a ton of, like Scientology owns a bunch of front companies to do certain things, you know. So it kind of opens your eyes to these things. You know, like what else out there is ran by?
I think we should start a new conspiracy theory that the KGB runs Amtrak.
And Wiener Schnitzel is a German front company for sure.
Yeah. Funneling money.
Yeah. They're trying to kill us from the inside.
We give them all the schnitzels.
They try to smuggle the world's nastiest chili into America.
We have so many of them addicted. Soon we will poison the chili.
Yeah. Oh, man. That's right. Horrible.
I think that's all we can drag this shit out. Sponsors? Like sponsor time for sure. Thank you to El Yucateco Hot Sauce. If you haven't tried it, you should. If you have some and you haven't posted it, you should. And make sure you tag them at, not just hashtag, because they don't see that shit unless they go look for it. So make sure you put an at sign in front of El Yucateco _ Hot Sauce so that they know and tag us too, so we get some credit for that.
Don't make them work to look for the hashtags. They're lazy.
Just add them.
Just add them. They're lazy.
They can't get away from you. That shit pops up on their phone in their pocket. You got no choice. Say, Sofa King Podcast told me to do this shit.
Yep.
But I love it. So, and if you need to find it, you can order it on their website and you can get a discount with using code SOFAKING. And you can also get it at all the grocery stores. Don't tell us you can't find it because you can. You're just
in Target.
Lazy.
It's in Target and the ethnic section.
Brad and I are going to go to Target and film that
shit. We're filming a video.
Yeah, we're going to film a video of us finding it at Target.
If we can't find it, it's going to be really funny.
So that's happening. And then thank you to printdirtcheap.com. You can also save some money by using code SOFAKING if you need anything of any type printed there. Thank you to De Leon Graphics. You can find them on Facebook and on Instagram. They do silk screening and they are responsible for the making of our apparel. Thank you to Digital Creations, who makes our coffee mugs. Brad is falling asleep right now at this, and everybody else probably turned this shit off already. But thank you to Dan Camarillo. Log on to armhunter.com to buy geese, apparel, booty shorts, and get rock hard watching sexy ass instructional videos.
You're getting gayer and gayer by the day.
I know.
I just realized something.
Not gay if I'm on top.
I just realized something that I was.
Nah.
Yes, it's proof that I wasn't paying any attention to anything you were saying. I realized that like 5 days ago,
like weed became legal in our state.
Mm-hmm. And we didn't mention it.
And nobody seems to give a shit.
Because everyone already had it.
Like, I was waiting for this big hullabaloo the next day. Everybody was like, yeah, it's legal now.
No, my friends that were potheads on Facebook were pissed. They were pissed.
That it was legalized?
Yeah. Well, no, the bill that passed is fucked. Like, they wanted it like Colorado. Mm-hmm. Well, you should know if you're voting on anything in California, it is not going to be like anywhere else.
No.
Like, they're going to tax the shit out of it. Yep. They're going to fuck you over.
Yep.
And, oh, you want weed? Okay, you can have it, but you're fucked. Like, it's going to fuck all the growers, all the small people. It's going to be just a big business. Fucking that's it. Like, and
yeah.
You know. Yeah, I mean, you know how it's going to go. And they were more upset about it than anybody. Everybody else was like, oh, yay, weed, cool, wow.
Well, because the thing I saw was you can grow, like, starting today,
you can
grow six plants and life mm-hmm. is good,
yep.
but that nothing's going to be sold for a year.
You can have, it's real tricky. How you get it is tricky. Like, someone can gift it to you. Like, yeah. someone that has their card,
it's crazy, though, because, like, the cards, like, a marijuana card isn't, it doesn't matter anymore.
I think right now it still does.
Right now it still does,
but it's not going to. And then also, like, medical marijuana, it's not the same anymore. Like, it's not, like, you can't, it's just the way it is fucked up. Like, it's like they gave it a fucked up system. They attached all kinds of shit to it, and it's California.
Because until it's for sale, which from what I heard is a year out, then the only way to legally buy it is still to have a medical card, but and, you can now legally grow.
Yeah, and there's going to be no more co-ops and stuff because those are all out. Like, you have to be a legitimate business. Like, it's full on.
It's not really going to affect us, to be honest.
No, not us. The businesses, the growers, you know, people who are in it, it's going to fuck them.
I'm such a lightweight. I have like a can of blueberries that every once in a while, if I can't sleep at night, I'll eat one blueberry that's 5 milligrams. And then eventually I'll fall asleep, wake up and eat a ham sandwich and fall back asleep. So that's all that does to me. And then I literally have like one joint that I've been nursing for like fucking weeks, dude. I can take one puff, put that shit out, put it back in the snap container, and I'm toast.
Oh, it's not Trent anymore. It's Brent now.
No, I'm saying Trench. Yeah, it's legal, so it doesn't matter. I really don't do it that often, though. Yeah. People think I do.
Well, it doesn't matter anyway. It's like people who work in the oil field still are under the same laws.
Yeah, if your employer has a rule.
Yeah, if you're running heavy equipment, you know, shit like that, where you're getting tested, DOT stuff, it's not going to affect you. Like, you still can't smoke until they come out with the breathalyzers that, you know, can tell whether you're intoxicated or not.
Right. But so, I do know
those are in production, but
a lot of good might come of it though, for people that actually needed it medicinally, because it really does alleviate pain. There's a lot of things it does good for. And then textile speaking, like for the manufacturing process of it, releasing the restrictions on hemp, which were just fucking retarded in the first place.
Yeah.
You can make clothing. You can make fucking 2x4s that are stronger. You can build a fucking car out of it. They make plastics. They make all kinds of crazy shit. So that aspect of it,
It's going to be good.
There's a good industry that could be profitable outside of the whole get stoned and have fun, fucking whatever, you know.
Right.
There's some good to come of it, I think.
I'm just going to rob people.
I was just waiting for a bunch of like stoners to be like super happy, and I haven't heard anything all week long.
Yeah,
like,
there's a couple posts. Everybody already did it. It was so laid back already.
I guess you're right. Yeah. I was waiting because I was in Oregon shortly after it got legalized. On a trip, and like everybody was like fucking freaking out and so happy, but it's a different setup up there. But a lot of people up there do exactly what you said. They barter. Like a lot of people who don't even smoke weed grow their six plants and then they just fucking barter
and that's
shit.
Something like, you're not gonna be able to do here.
I need my fucking you can't sell it, but I can give it to you.
Yeah, but that's not gonna happen here,
the barter thing.
Yeah, that's one thing, because like Colorado is you know, for a donation, you know, I'm giving you something for a donation. Like their style of the way that they sell it, they've really put a hinge on the stuff here. So we'll see. I mean, maybe not, like
a Marvel film right now. Everybody probably fucking turned it off when the sponsorship started.
Keep talking.
And they missed a whole talk about me smoking weed and eating blueberries. Yeah. Ham sandwiches in my underwear.
Don't turn it off, folks.
How many Dixie sucked last week?
That's all I'm saying. Seven.
Three? It was only three.
Only, that's pretty good. You've cut back, really. It's bad cigarette addiction.
I mean, I thought seven was a cutback.
Yeah. It was. That was like a few weeks ago, though. So he's really, really tamed it down.
Yeah,
I was up to 37 a week.
Yeah.
It was a lot.
37 a week.
Yeah. My jaw is fucking, I got a six pack in my jaw. My jaw,
I tried to fit a can in my mouth the other day and got locked jaw. It didn't used to happen.
No.
It's pretty big.
All right.
Is that it?
Yep. I think so.
Did we get all the sponsors?
Yes. I believe so.
Did we get Print Nerd Cheap?
Yep.
We got Digital Creations.
Yep.
We got Hooters.
Did not mention Hooters.
Hooters. We got Nestle.
Hey, if anybody works at Modern Times, hit me up, man.
Or not. We don't give a fuck.
Nah. I kind of do. I think that's
coffee. Good. I like coffee. Yeah.
Yep.
Their coffee's good. We'll see if it's shitty. Give it to us. Tell you if it tastes woody. Tell you if it tastes spicy.
It tastes spicy.
It tastes, man, yeah, it tastes spicy.
It's got undertones of woody.
It's Arabica. All right. Don't be retarded.
When the scene unfolds, young girls, 13 years old, expose themselves to any tongue they can hate. Got more stretch marks than these hoes. Hollin' they got rank. See, Sega ain't in this new world. Alter them experimenting in Atlanta, Georgia. United Nations overseas. Train assassins do search and seize. Ain't knocking or asking. The coming folk like me. Poor white trash like they. Tricks like her. Back in slavery. Concentration camps laced with gas pipelines. Infernos out those like they had back with Adolf Hitler was living in 1945. Listen to me now, believe me later on. In the future, look at what it said in the Constitution that in the event of a war, places like Operation Heartbreak Hotel, moments tell until that tight vent seal off despair. Them say expect no mercy. Fool, you should be my least worries. Got a deal with W-2-10-99s or more black helicopter swoop down and try to put missiles in mines. Who's there peeking in my window? Nobody now. Me and my family moved in our apartment complex. A gate with the serial code was put up next. They claim that this community is so drug free, but it don't look that way to me, cause I can see the young bloods hanging out at the store. 24/7 drunk is looking for a hit of the blow. It's powerful. Oh, you know what else they trying to do? Make a curfew, especially for me and you. The traces of the new world order. Time is getting shorter. If we don't get prepared, people, it's gonna be a soda. My mind won't allow me to not be curious. My folk don't understand, so they don't take it serious. But every now and then, I wonder if the gate was put up to keep crime out of keep eye.
Who's that peeking in my window? Who's that peeking in my window?
Listen up, little nigga, I'm talking to you about what your little ass need to be going through. I fall a victim too, and I know I shouldn't smoke so much, but I do. With the crew every day, on the average about 4 or 5. I'm lucky to be alive at sunrise. I won't realize the call after I lost my best friend Bean. I recognize as a king. Who am I to tell you to stop smoking? Now you open to disease and cold, and ain't 16 years old. This has got to stop. Let's take a walk through detox. I won't out of this hole. I'm in the cell under attack. No good folks, stay in the hood. Got an eye on every move I make. Open your face to info. You ain't know, cause it's kept low. Ha, the new world plan. Reach the planet without the
so
man.
What's your aim? Try to separate me from the blood. It's disrespect like coming in my home and not wiping your feet on the rug. The Citronat salute has got me bucking no hand with no phone. Look out for the man with the mask and the white pony on my back of pills. Staying off my toes, always on my heels, the same plane. Soldiers coming in the dark by plane to report the new system by rain. Tag my skin with your computer chip. Run your hand over the scanner to buy your dish now. No more fishing for your fish.
No more fishing for
the days of the old days. Pathways gone, mind blown, perception. Perception. My name on your select, but I call the cunt.
Who's that peeking in my window?
Nobody now.
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 See up there.
Between your two souls.